America has an issue with like the willingness versus ability paradigm. Like if you are willing but unable, I can help you. But if you're able but unwilling, it's not much I can do, right? I think that America has, so this attack on knowledge and experience is really evident to me that's about willingness, right? Because you can have all the laws, constitution, but if you do not have willingness, and people have tied the two together in a weird way, but we're struggling because we think they're not able, and we're using strategies that are rooted in ability, not strategies that are rooted in willingness, right? I got a almost two-year-old grandchild. She sometimes, I'm telling her to do something, and she doesn't truly understand what I'm saying. Like I'm using big people words, right? Mm-hmm. But then sometimes I say, you know, don't pull that cord. And she pulls that cord anyway. Mm-hmm. It wasn't anything about it. It was all about what she was willing to do, right? So then I have to discipline her, or I have to, you know, move the cords. It's like I can't act like she doesn't understand, and that's why she's doing it. Because there's a point when she clearly understands, but she's doing it because she wants to. So America, I think sometimes we got to deal with what is the will, right? Because we have laws, and we thought we had constitution, and we had all the tweaks and tweaks and tweaks, but they don't get at willingness. I think they get at, well, maybe if we put this protocol in, we'll be able to do. And so as soon as you get some people in there that have a different willingness paradigm, everybody's like, well, why are they doing that?
Why not?
So, you know, it's good to be honest with ourselves. Like, do I not believe in that? Do I not understand that? Now that I understand, where do I stand? Because now I'm bringing in, but what do I have a win-lose mentality? Do I have a smaller piece of the pie mentality? Because when people really get to where they're at, their actions are different. And a lot of
very times, different, because there's studies on this specific thing. Because I went to an art school, mm-hmm. Cleveland School of the Arts, and we were so consumed with what our passions were and interests that we simply did not have the space or capacity to deal with all like things like, you know.
When did you graduate from school?
95. So the other things that people like talked about and dealt with, like, you know, racism, like, okay, whatever, I'm over here doing my art. Or this and that, the economy, whatever, I'm doing my art. I'm doing what I love to do. And I think you're right, insecurity, because I'm did not grow up being insecure. Mm-hmm. I was mentored. I was encouraged. I was afforded all these mm-hmm. things, right? And insecurity was not something that was always so prevalent. Mm-hmm. I mean, it happened, but mm-hmm. not in that way. Mm-hmm. We didn't talk about, I mean, we talked about these things, and but from a different perspective. It was just a different reality.
I mean, because it's almost like we're in here and that's out there.
Yeah.
And if I can create my in-heres.
But I was also happy. I was also happy to a level that was not, I wasn't going to cause problems for other people. Mm. Or
you were at least conscious of the fact that there's other people.
I was kind. I didn't lash out because I was had a deficiency. Yeah.
And I mean, everybody, and that's a good childhood, right? You know, that equates to, like, East Cleveland for me. Like, I loved high school. I loved that I could go and compete in speech and debate and Shaker and blow those kids out. You know, I loved that I could go to Normandy with the marching band and blow those kids out. And then I could go to individual music competitions and blow those kids mm-hmm. out. Because to me, I just thought, you compete, you do your best, you see if you win. I didn't understand that people thought I couldn't win. I didn't know that people thought I couldn't play my instrument until I blew my instrument. I didn't know that people saw my East Cleveland bus coming in and thought, here come those black kids who probably can't, right? Because that wasn't the culture of my school.
Yeah.
The culture of my school was, as my parents, it was aligned with my parents and my church. You be your best, you do your best, you have to be the best, right? And that's one of the things that irks me so much in that long month of January that we've had. Because I know with everything in me, if you went into a HR department and you pulled all of the resumes and took all the, and you know, whited them out, took out all the information, I guarantee you the most qualified people in their positions would be people of color. Because we always got to be 3 feet faster, taller, higher, had to have more education. So I never understood this new concept of, right, and women. What's a DEI hire? I've been saying that for the last 6 weeks. What's a DEI hire? But you mean when you hire a black person or you hire a black woman? But realistically, I ain't never.
So you got all these things folding in upon itself just sickling around.
Nobody ever gave me nothing. Nobody ain't ever handed me nothing. Ain't nobody tried to make it easy for me. And I know many peers of my peers like me have had the same thing. I have worked my ass off. My granddaughter just got over COVID. She's almost 2. And I've been taking care of her the last 2 weeks because I had the time and my space to do that. And I was mentioning to my mom who kept my son till he went to kindergarten. He's almost 26. And I was like, wait, she just seems like she was so much busier than Joe was. And I said, oh, wait a minute. Joe was here with you at that age and I was at work. And 26 years later, I realized how much of my own child's life I missed because I was a working mother.
Wow.
So I got a whole nother, I'm like, and on the weekends, I was working to make sure he had what he needed. But thankfully, my mother was there for him. But I literally went in my mind and like, I've been doing this that I'm doing for a long, long time. And there's no way you can do all of that and do all of this and do everything at 100%. Just real, right? But it kind of got me in the gut. And my mother's like, yeah, my mother babysat children for years. That's her ministry. She's like, and a lot of times I just didn't tell parents what the kids did, because it would make them feel bad about what they were missing. And I would wait until my parents would call me and say, you know, so-and-so did this. And I would act so surprised because I saw it, you know. But just to think about the time and energy, and I'm, you know, people are like breaking groups down and black women are the most educated and blah, 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 blah. We're not the highest paid. And we rarely are in organizations where we have support for who we are and what we do, rarely.
So let's go. Let's shift the conversation mm-hmm. here. What are you doing now? What did you have a consulting? Consulting.
Mm-hmm.
What is your agenda now? What is your focus now?
You know what
are your passions also now?
My agenda at this point in my life, and quite frankly, it kind of hit me like from the side. I was at a retirement party last year. And I was like, well, wait a minute. How long you worked? When did you start? And I was like, oh, that's why I'm so tired. Technically, I should be retired. So that was one revelation. And then I went, and again, as I said, like with my son, like how many years I've been doing this? So this last year, to be honest, I have been really reflecting on making sure my ladder is greater. I do a lot of work. I've done work professionally. I've done volunteer work. I serve on several boards, and I've been saying to myself, where am I getting the most return on my investment? And my investment is my time and my creativity and my strategic approach to things, right? And I made some decisions in this last year because I felt like it wasn't in balance, right? So I still have certain things that I do in those areas. But from a professional standpoint, as an organizational development person and a strategy type person, I've really been trying to identify projects and spaces and places where I can really think and like use my thinking to drive change. And not to sound arrogant in any way, but to just say that there's a place and space where there's so much going on. There's knee-jerk reactions. There's not knee-jerk reactions. There is, we want to just barrel down and do what we always did and never look and think about how we could do better or what we can learn from the people next to us.
Yeah.
So I'm really trying to...
Are you like focusing, creating that repetition, the necessary repetition, mm-hmm. and strengthening community.
I mean, you've got to maintain and you've got to create, yeah. right? And there's this balance always to make sure that you're doing both. Yeah. I land on the create side, but I'm really skilled at, but let me tell you how to get there, right? I'm not just visionary out there. I'm like, I can actually help you get there and help you figure out what you need to do to stay there. But I've learned over the years, you got to first make sure everybody wants to go. And then we clear on where we're going. So as a consultant, I can kind of ask those kinds of questions and I can look around the room and I can listen to the things that are said and the things that are done and go, oh, wait a minute. They're not really trying to go over there. And then I can, you know, jump off the train sometime before he hits the wall. Or I could say, here's what we agreed I would work on. Here's my recommendations. And here's what might happen if you don't follow them. And great day. It was wonderful. We completed our engagement. But I'm also finding myself rubbing shoulders with a space I've intentionally stayed out of, which is sort of the political legislative space.
Like, oh, really?
I've stayed out of that my entire career. I've kind of worked maybe beside or like two kids in the sandbox, but I've stayed.
I would sum up your career as like the, like, very political. Being social and working in the human need with human needs and these areas is all politics.
And it is, but it isn't politics in its traditional sense because a lot of times they don't. Practice, policy, and academia don't come together. They work side by side, right? But I think they need to come together because I think that's where we find the solutions. So creating solutions and information that politicians can use to make good decisions, right? That practitioners can use to have good practice. And I think that's really the role for the academy. They don't necessarily think so, but I think the academy could do a lot more at helping the situations that are in our community, but traditional researchers ask questions for the sake of questions. And I'm like, let's ask questions for create solutions. So, you know, it's a little push. But I do feel like it probably is, and I've kind of come around to, like I said, I've walked beside all those spaces. I'm probably now in a position to have more dialogue and have stuff to base that dialogue on. So I'm kind of engaging intentionally in more spaces where it's like, let's figure out what we are going to do about it.
Okay.
And that's because...
And how is that shaping? How is that strategically? What's your strategy behind that?
So I have been physically putting myself in places and in conversations that I didn't always, right? Whether it is a retirement party for a senator, whether it is a legislative conference for community action, whether it is, you know, having some individual conversations with some folks that have just crossed my path and like asking them kind of, where are we? What are some of the things that people are thinking? Where is the thinking happening? It's kind of been.
And who's doing the thinking?
And who, yeah. and starting to think I might need to create some spaces
right.
because my myth of it's happening somewhere, I just don't know. It's becoming more of a myth. And it's like, no, we need to create spaces for it to happen.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so we got discomfort in a lot of places. Yeah. So now we need to have dialogue across sectors, across lanes, because we can't keep replicating and duplicating stuff, right? We don't want to duplicate. I'm agreeing. I'm saying that right. So there are certain things we don't need to reinvent, right? But if I don't know what you invented and how you've been making it happen over here, then I may waste time redoing it over there because we just don't have, we neighbors, we don't talk. So I do think that, but I'm not about talking without action because I'm also at an age where I'm tired of people talking stuff to death, right? I'm like, what is the action agenda. And if the action agenda is to just talk some more, I'm pulling myself off some of those spaces because we're talking till we blue and the world is turning gray and we just can't keep talking. So I come to a table and I try to figure out what is the outcome of this table. Why do we think what we think? That's just a simple question.
It is a simple question.
Theory. Why do we think that?
Yeah.
Why don't you want me to ask why we think that? I'm like, what do you guys mean you don't like CRT? You don't want to ask why we think that? You don't ever want to have to produce information as to why you want people to think that with you?
Yeah.
So for me, I'm like, I'm all excited and I'm just...
Well, there's a lot more to that, I think, that why we don't want, or society doesn't want, the system doesn't want people to.
Oh, I get why they don't. Yeah. But I'm like, but at some point, if we keep tweaking and faking and flaking, we just gonna keep spinning, right? And eventually, all that spinning is not good. Yeah. And we are coming to a place and time where we are gonna have to make some real.
Big inflections.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's gotta be some change, but it's gotta be.
And even if the people who are thinking that they're in control, again, physics, math doesn't care what you believe or think, right? Because there's a tipping point.
Right.
When this.
Now you think you're controlling climate, but we got in Mississippi. Are you really controlling climate?
Yeah,
you know, is there something else going on?
There's a sense of insanity to it almost. But yeah.
So for me, I'm at this point in my life, I am really trying to add value. I'm trying to minimize time that I'm spending at tables that are just spinning. I'm trying to ask those questions that sometimes people don't want to ask, and they're often around, I'm a data-driven, but data to me is qualitative and quantitative.
Yes.
Right? I'm always asking, why do you think that? What is the basis for that? Some people don't like those questions, because the honest answer is, if I keep looking just at the tip of the iceberg and intentionally not looking under some of the real issues, we're going to keep spinning. If I only look from my perspective or two people's perspective and not the other 12 in the room, we're going to just keep spinning. But if I stay there, that's what I'm wanting to do, that's what I'm willing to do, then the solution's not going to come from this table, right? So it is it's a intent to not be discouraged. It is an acknowledgement that this vast, crazy path that I've been on, you know, through nonprofits, education, foundations, charter schools, all these different boards. It all comes down to the same thing, though.
Maybe it comes down to this moment. Maybe it comes down to you. Like, this is what it's all been about.
And I would say, yeah. And I couldn't have told you this 35 years ago, walking across the stage, or 20 years ago, I couldn't have told you. But I can say that there's this wealth of experience, breadth of experience. It's like a toolbox. Like, it's so many tools sometimes, I think, in my toolbox. Then sometimes I forget what's in there. And then I think, oh, yeah, remember that time? And then it comes back. But I think we have what we need to get past this moment. But one, we're going to have to let everybody that needs to be in the room be in the room. We're going to have to take off those sort of things we put in place to control and manage and manipulate. We're going to have to acknowledge.
We're going to have to be vulnerable.
Yeah. And then, like, we really didn't mess this up.
Yeah.
We need to do something different.
All of us.
Yeah. All. And it's never this group or that didn't vote. The men didn't vote. The women didn't vote. The black.
Yeah.
Stop it. We all are here. We got here together. And believe it or not, we are connected to the whole world. Right. I keep telling people, whatever happens in this country of ours, it is tied to the whole world.
Yes.
So we have to have an international, and I think some other places in the world doing better than us right now. And that's why America needs to come along, because we still have this mindset sometimes that we are just us. And the rest of the world understands it very differently. And I don't know if you can say that on, but I have this mindset that we are an undereducated society.
Very much so.
We are an undereducated society, and people have used that against us. And so now we can get over inundated with information, but I think there's a lot of room for education now. And it doesn't have to be in a classroom. It is not in a college. It's the knowledge you have from what you've done. It's the knowledge I bring from what. And if we just sit in a room, I believe we can figure out what we need to figure out. formal, informal, all the words we have, we can figure it out.
It's so almost like returning to a time of a different type of structure. The structure of society was different because you look at kind of some older civilizations or even ancient ones where you never stopped learning. You always learn, and it took 30, 40 years before you actually got what we would call a degree.
Mm-hmm.
So these groups or societies actually practiced some of the things that you...
You had spiritual elders. You had people who were experienced in doing certain things. It's like, it wasn't a bad thing that this is my thing. But my thing wasn't just mine. It was spaces where collective responsibility. Mm-hmm. I've been back on my Kwanzaa principles because I think they emerged out of these kind of situations and they still apply. And I feel like we need to get rid of the gloom and doom because there is a faction that's trying to promote that. I think we need to get rid of the pointing fingers or we shoulda, coulda, oughtas. And we need to get down to but where do we go from here? And I do think sometime the storms come. To blow stuff down and uncover where we need to focus. And I kind of see us in that season. I'm not in the gloom and doom and, oh, it's the end of... I'm like, no, I don't think it's the end of the world, y'all.
There is no end.
I don't think this is it. But there is something that is trying to teach us. And if you want to go jump off the cliff, you go ahead. I'm not, because I'm going to be here to see what happens next.
Yeah.
But I need to keep my... You got to keep your focus and not let your emotions and your, God, I can't say social media, but some of the things that people, you know, check your sources, right? Check your...
Well, you got to stay light. You got to keep the light and not let it get dark.
Because if you don't, where do we go?
Yeah.
Right? So I'm actually excited about, I'm still trying to figure out, you know, for me, I want to be able to help think. I want to help think, pay the bills, think. But I also just don't have a lot of time. You hit a certain age where you're like, time is really fast. Time goes by quickly. And you can pretend like it don't all day. But they say 30 to new 40, 20 to the year. But your knees know they in their 50s. So call it what you want. We have to be cognizant of time, generations, and the overlapping. We almost have talked about generations so much now. It's like we had a Y, then we had a Z, then we had an X. No, you guys, we coexist.
Yeah.
And it's gonna keep going, and we need to do better about learning and sharing with each other.